Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01 249 3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
I do my makeup in somebody else's car. We order different drinks at the same bars. I know about what you did and I wanna scream the truth. She thinks you love the beach, you're such a damn liar. Well, those great whites, they have big teeth.
Well, they bite you, thought you said that you would always be in love. But you're not in love, no more. Did it frighten you? How we kissed when we danced on the light of floor. On the light of floor.
But I hear sounds in my mind. Brand new sounds in my mind. But honey, I'll be seeing you ever I go. But honey, I'll be seeing you. Up in a different bedroom, I whisper things, the city sings them back to you. Well, those rumors, they have big teeth.
Oh, they bite you, thought you said that you would always be in love. But you're not in love, no more. Did it frighten you, how we kissed when we danced on the light of floor. On the light of floor.
But I hear sounds in my mind. Brand new sounds in my mind.
Mental Health Week. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
Sunlight hurts my eyes. that lies ahead of me seemed impossible to face. When someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. And when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way, then I look at you and the world's all right with me. I just one look at you and I know it's gonna be.
Day, a lovely day for World Mental Health Day, and this is Walk in My Shoes Radio, encouraging you to get the conversation started this Mental Health Week. Now, as if last night wasn't evidence enough, we have Aidan on the line who's going to tell us all about how sporting success can lift up the nation's mood. Hi Aidan, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thank you very much.
Tell me, what's the story? You're all about football and mental health.
I'm football and rugby, yeah.
Football and rugby, okay, so we're talking soccer.
Yeah, like, I mean, for one of them, last night, for instance, you have Ireland beat Wales. I mean, even though it's only going into the playoffs, that is huge now, because a lot of people, now they could have been down in the dumps, and now they're actually after coming up now. Like, we actually have a chance. I mean, Eamon Dunphy last night was talking about how he thought that Wes Hoolan should be picked over Jeff Hendrick. But in my view, Jeff Hendrick actually made the goal. Well, he did make the goal. But I mean, if it would have been Wes Hoolan doing it, he wouldn't have. I don't think he would have went after the ball.
Okay.
But I think now, like, his mindset, I think Eamon Dunphy is very negative, in my view.
Okay.
But
we're not
a lot
about
of people
that
out there would be very positive about it.
I know, Aidan, just for the listeners, you're a Ballyfermot student. I have a whole rake of them in here supporting the radio station, running the place from what I can see. So do you play soccer and rugby yourself? And
I when I was six.
Oh, sorry, one second.
I was 6 years old, so I was 12.
Oh, no, we're losing you, Aidan. Go back to signal. Go back to the good place.
Yeah, I just trying to avoid the wind. I had to get off the bus. I was coming out from college.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I'm so sorry. Repeat that. What were you saying to me?
I started playing rugby when I was six.
Oh.
And then I stopped playing when I was 12, but I went back to start of last season. And I done ligament damage to my knee, so unfortunately I can't play again.
Cruciate?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my boyfriend's doing it as well.
But there was minor damage to it, so.
Okay,
that's
not great, is it? But you have found that you found football beneficial to your own mental health.
Yeah, like, I mean, football, huge, it's the biggest sport in the world. Like, a lot of people might disagree with me, but I think in my view it is. I mean, you can't go anywhere without someone talking about football. But, like, I mean, if you look at players, And for one instance, there was Aaron Lennon, last deceased, found on a bridge. He was after having a mental breakdown. But now he's after coming through it now, and he's actually started the future for games for everything again.
And do you think it's important for people like him to come out and talk about their mental health?
It is. That's one thing I'm actually fairly happy knowing about Walking My Shoes, because it's done to break down the stigma about mental health, like, to talk about it. Like, myself, personally, like, I've lost friends to depression, I've lost friends to suicide. I mean, myself, I went through a stage and I came through for it. But that's why it's like, if more people talked about it, the more the stigma would be broken down.
So it's important for footballers who do have a very public platform to...
because a lot of people nowadays, especially young men, like, they'll think that, well, some people see it as a weakness, but I mean, if they've seen their idols come out and talk about it, I think that would actually break down the stigma too.
And then in America as well, they actually use sport as a prescription. Doctors actually prescribe sport and physical activity as a way of coping with depression and anxiety. Did you know that? That's my little tidbit of information. But it's something we don't do in Ireland.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people think they're alone when they're in a certain state of mind with their mental health. But by joining the team, I mean, for anyone who's been in a sports team at some stage, they realise how close people can get. Mm. Like, I mean, like I said, I haven't played rugby properly since I was 12, and I'm still great friends with lads. I'm 23 now, and I'm still great friends with people from then. But I mean, it's like one big family. It will give you something to talk about. It might not be the lad that you're playing with, like, say, in a centre-back pairing, if you're playing up to him. It might be the manager, it might be the backroom staff. It's one big family. And that's why I think sports can actually help people get your mental health.
Sometimes people are put off by the competitive element, but there's the other physical benefits of actually just physical activity.
Yeah, like, I mean, the competitive element, you do see it now. I mean, the likes of when James McLean, when Martin McGuinness died, he was obviously an idol to James McLean, and as well, his friend had died as well. He played with Open Derry. But and he said he was going to play, that he was going to play his, basically the last match for his friend. Mm. But his physicalness and the competitivity not that I took a hit, but like usually, you know, you seen last night now, he got a yellow card late in the match, and it was a silly mistake that he'd done. There was no need for him to do it, but he wasn't going in with rash tackles during this match. So I can see how mental health, because his own frame of mind, he's after losing one of his close friends on an idol. Yeah.
So it's a lot of pressure there as well.
Pardon?
There's a lot of pressure on him as well. 5 minutes to go.
There's huge pressure.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he kept getting name dropped. Now, with Ireland, okay, we're in the playoffs now. But if he was suspended for the previous match, I mean, if he was playing, he would have been our star man. And we probably could have went out and got the win, and we wouldn't have to go through the playoffs. Mm. But for himself, I mean, it must be huge. Like, I mean, Ireland's last World Cup was, that would have been, I think it was 2002 in Saipan. Mm. And I mean, that's what I would have been about, what I was born into. So I would have been about 9 years of age, and now I'm 23. So there's so many players after going through, and now, like, I'm not never played in the World Cup for Ireland internationally. But now, like, there's huge pressure on him and the rest of the lads on actually, you know, going out, performing and getting us to the World Cup.
Yeah, there is a lot of pressure, and hopefully they'll do well and keep the nation's mood lifted. So anybody who doesn't get involved, Aidan is telling you to get the ball rolling, get out and kick about, and lift the nation's mood. Thanks very much, Aidan.
No problem.
Give it to me, I'm a
like she loves some. Bring it back like she loves some. In the club with the lights off, but you act a shy fog. Come and show me that you're with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. Stop playing, now you know that I'm with it, with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. What you act a shy fog?
Just give me you, just give me you, just give me you. That's all I wanna do. And if what they say is true, If it's true, I'ma give it to you. I may take a lot of stuff, guaranteed, I can back it up. I think I'ma call you bluff. Hurry up, I'm walking out from. You see me in the spotlight, ooh, I love your style. Show me what you got, cause I don't wanna waste my time. See me in the spotlight, ooh, I love your style. Show me what you got now, come and make it worth my while. Give it to me, I'm worth. It's all on you, so what you wanna do? And if you don't have a clue, not a clue, I'll tell you what to do. Come harder just because I don't like it too soft. I like it a little rough, not too much, but maybe just enough.
She loves some. Bring it back like she loves some. In the club with the lights off, but you acting shy for. Come and show me that you're with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. Stop playing, now you know that I'm with it, with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. But you acting shy for.
Hi, this is Avie McCall, and something that's worth it is talking about your mental health. And that's what we're doing here on Walk In My Shoes Radio all week. And you can check us out, listen online at www.walkinmyshoes.ie. Join the conversation on Twitter, hashtag WIMSFM. And right now, I am talking to somebody who probably knows a lot about people's most stressful time in their life, wedding planner Sharon McNeil. Thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome.
So yeah, is it the most stressful time in people's lives?
It definitely can be. I mean, you couldn't pick a bigger event that is so tied up in emotion.
Mm. Well, that's it, tied up in emotion, yeah. Even if you're a cool cucumber, it is tied up in emotion.
Absolutely, and you can't avoid it, whether it's table plan discussions or what part of the country you're going to get married in or whether you're going to have a religious service or a non-religious service. Nearly every decision kind of has somebody you're trying, somebody's feelings you're trying to mind or negotiate.
That's it actually, yeah, because a lot of people, you know, it's supposed to be about two people, but an awful lot of people think it's about them when it comes to weddings. What am I wearing? This is the most important thing.
Yeah.
We've all been there. So Sharon, why on earth did you get involved in people's most stressful time in their lives?
It was nearly by accident, would you believe?
Okay.
My mum was a great organiser for years when we were kids, and I was always involved in organising events in school and all that kind of stuff. And actually, when I left school and went to college, I went to do computer programming, would you believe? So it was a slightly different career choice.
Yeah.
But through a series of events, I actually ended up working in a hotel in County Limerick. And I ended up being their wedding and events coordinator. And by the time I left there, I was doing 110 weddings a year, which was mad. But I loved it.
Okay.
Absolutely loved it. I totally found my passion in that and decided then that I kind of wanted to get more involved. Because when you're working in a hotel, you're really only looking at the reception part of it with people. But I just love that connection with people and wanted to kind of get involved in more of the wedding and help them with the stresses of the wedding and the planning beforehand as well. So that's when I decided to go out on my own.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose you've really freed up though as well once you leave the hotel, because people are trying to find alternative venues, aren't they?
They are. Everybody wants something different. Mm. So it's nearly always the first question they say to me is, you know, I've been to, especially, you know, when you kind of hit a certain age group,
yeah,
you suddenly find you're doing 10 weddings, going
yeah,
to 10 different weddings
group.
Today. Yeah. Yeah. And you're not alone for the couple, but the guests are trying to figure out 10 different outfits to wear. But it's, so everybody wants to do something slightly different than their friends have done, mm-hmm. or they're negotiating dates and things like that. So, but they're, the one thing that's fabulous about Ireland is that there's everything from boutique camping places, you can get married in museums, there's pubs, there's castles, there's such a variety.
There are options out there.
Yeah, so sometimes for people it can be the venue kind of creates the different mm-hmm. space. Other mm-hmm. times it's entertainment, decor, flowers, whatever other kind of little bits that we try and pull around it. But a lot of the time for people it's really the venue that sets the tone of the wedding and the style of the wedding.
And what's the most unusual venue then that you've organised a wedding for?
Well, you know, I've done them in so many different places, like the castles obviously is yeah. the big one, and places like Adair coming back on stream now soon. But there was a beautiful wedding I did down in County Cork. It was actually kind of a private island, and it was a boathouse.
Oh.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. And the boathouse you can actually rent just to stay there. So we kind of converted the sitting room area into a function room space, and we had 70 people in there. It was all glass looking out over onto the water, totally secluded. And they had their ceremony out on this kind of lake on the estate that was beautifully kind of overgrown with trees and bushes and everything, and it was just, you could have been anywhere in the world down there.
Okay.
So that was something that was very different.
And you know, people are always searching for these more alternative things, but is there not something about, we won't name any particular hotels now, but like there are hotels that do weddings very, very well. Mm. So like, should you not just go for somewhere where it's done for you and you know the food's going to be great and
yeah.
it's going to be out on time? Like, what if there was a massive flood down on that boathouse? Like, you know, these kind of things. Is it not just sometimes easier to go with the hotel yeah. and change it up a bit yourself?
Well, I suppose that's where I come in for
yeah.
people. If things go wrong, you know, you've got somebody there.
You're there on the day, are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm there all day with them on the day. Yeah, you definitely need to go somewhere that people know what they're at,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a traditional hotel.
Yeah.
There's so many places around the country houses, like there's, as I said, these boutique camping kind of venues and things like that, that are alternative venues that still know what they're doing with weddings and know it well. But the thing is to, with anybody, if you're going for venues, go and meet them. See how they work, see how the service goes, see how the food, check out the food. Because you can have some of the best places as perceived in the world, yeah. and the food might be terrible.
Yeah, well, that's definitely, we've all been there too.
Mm.
So Sharon, if they don't have the team there, you can pull the team in yourself.
Yeah, so like where I kind of help people is getting that organisation done beforehand, making sure that there isn't stress there on the day because everything has been ticked off. So all your suppliers around you, not just your hotel, like you need to make sure that your photographer is good.
Yeah.
Like, will he blend into the background, or will he be pulling and dragging at you all day yeah. to pose you for photographs?
Yeah,
that would drive your stress levels through the roof.
Well, sure, even finding a photographer, some people like that, I want these traditional post photos, and some people are like, I do not want to see the photographer,
yeah.
I hate getting my photo taken.
Yeah.
So you're able to advise people on that?
I am, yeah. And so I look at kind of what they're looking at, what their style is like, what their personality is like, what their budget is, where are they going, and what do they want to do, you know? Mm. And there's lovely things even that you can do with the photographer that's slightly different. People do the first touch photographs, which is a lovely new one that's coming on.
Oh, yeah.
Or the first look, which people have known about for a while. But it's making sure that those people are good. And actually, going back to people saying that they don't want the stage photographs, I'll always say to people, you will yeah. still want a photograph of the two of you on your own. You will still want a photo.
Like, yeah. You definitely do.
You kind of need to mark that who your bridal party is with you. But it's the manner in which the photographer or videographer interacts with you and gets those shots done without it taking 3 hours to do.
Okay, and what would you say are the biggest stresses involved in organising a wedding?
Table plan is
yeah.
a huge one for people. The invite list to start off
yeah.
with, budget is always a big one, because again, there's a lot of emotion in money, whether it's figuring out if you're going to pay it for it yourself, if your family or parents are going to contribute. So it's, that can be a very big and difficult discussion at the start of the planning with people, but it's one that's well worth doing and having and getting done at the very beginning. Mm. And I'll always sit down with people and go through the budget. So I'll have a list of literally everything that I can think of that's going to be purchased. Because a lot of the time, particularly when it gets nearer the wedding day, people forget about the little things they have to pick up. Yeah. And then you've got like 3,000 or 4,000 euros worth of bits that you don't know where they're after going.
But if they have you, so are you telling me then they don't need a massive budget to be bringing in a wedding planner?
No, definitely not. I mean, you a lot of everything. Times people think that it's a big luxury or something that, oh my God, are people going to think I can't organise my own wedding? Yeah. Do you know, but it's not that, like if you're going to do anything else, you go to an expert who's been doing it or who's been looking after it for years.
Makes sense.
You know, there's a big difference between you doing DIY plumbing on your sink and spending probably a week trying to fix it and getting a plumber who knows what he's doing and he'll have it fixed in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. So you're kind of paying for my expertise to cut around the sharks, so to cut the time out, to cut the money down. So a lot of the time I'll know specific people who will fit a budget, you know, and things like that. So I work with people from budgets from the smaller ones up to the bigger ones.
And you'll be taking the stress out of the day because it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. And but the great thing is that you've built the trust with the couple all the way up. Whether that's 6 months or 2 years, whatever it is, so that they actually completely relax because they know that there's somebody there on the day that has their back and is actually minding everything. And if anything comes up or anything happens or changes, I'm dealing with it. They don't even have to be known what's going on.
So what would your top advice be then to brides or grooms in order to alleviate stresses, other than obviously hire a wedding planner? Because that just...
it's not within everybody's grasp, or it's not maybe something people want to do. But what I would always say to people is the biggest thing is getting organised early.
Yeah.
People tend to leave things and go, oh yeah, that'll be fine, it'll be fine, we'll do that. But you're going to be running around for the 2 weeks beforehand, picking up the dress, picking up this, getting a purse here, getting tissues there. It takes a lot of time, and you actually want to be spending time with your family and friends, going for lunch, having a drink.
Well, that's it, they arrive early, and then all of a sudden the week before you want to be chilled out.
Yeah, if you've people coming in from abroad particularly, you know, so there's a lot kind of family commitments. So even if you don't have a planner, what I would say to people, get your to-do list out, get your list on. If you're doing DIY stuff, don't believe in it till the week before to do it. Mm. Do it a month out. There's never too early a time to take things off.
Yeah, why not?
If you're 6-8 months out and you're bored and you've nothing to do for your wedding, sit down and do the mass booklet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't have
pick
to be
readings.
Done for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But if you do it then and pick your readings and proofread with the stationery, that's a big job that's done.
I got sent one recently at 1 a.m. when the wedding was in 12 hours.
No.
Yeah, I just picked this reading. Will you do it? Okay, thanks, bye. So get organized is your top
get
tip.
Get organized, yeah. To-do lists are your friend. Do you know? Get it out of your head and onto a piece of paper, and then you can tick it off. And then you feel like you're achieving something because you're marking it off, marking it off, marking it off.
And also, delegate. Like, it's just one day, lads.
Yeah.
Chill out. Be grand. When
they are moving into the 2 and 3 days.
well, that's a whole other conversation for the guests. But now, thanks so much for coming in.
You're
and we have
welcome.
A very typical wedding song. It's Doobie Brothers with Long Train Running. And we're back with Sharon McNeil, wedding planner extraordinaire. Sharon, tell me, what are kind of the biggest mistakes that you see people make that you're like, please, on your wedding day or one day, don't do this?
Yeah, one of the things that people do is actually forget each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd often see one of the partners freaking out about details or stuff that's not happening, or they're shouting at guests or friends to do this and do that, and bridesmaids. Yeah, and it's awful because you can see, for the guests, you can actually see the stress in the bride's face. And you're going, oh God, just let it go, just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But you can understand why they're getting stressed, because they've put so much into it in the first place. But one of the other big things would actually be forgetting each other.
Okay.
And not giving time to each other, because a lot of people will say they might have big blowouts with their other half leading up to it.
Of course, yeah.
Because there's the pressure of the family, the appearance. And most people don't put on a show like that for 100 people, 200 people. So there's a lot of pressure that comes with that.
And you want to spend money on flowers. I want to spend money on a candy cart, like this kind of crack.
Yeah, and trying to outdo friends.
The guests will appreciate the candy cart more, people. Trying to outdo, let's not get into this competitive thing.
No, it's an awful way to be. Like, and what I always say to people is, what makes any wedding different is making it about the two people who are getting married. So if it reflects the personality and style of those people, then it's great. Like, I had a couple who met at a Bob Marley tribute concert. So at their wedding, they had a guy who did DJing and played Bob Marley music.
And they
And it was perfect. It was right up their street.
Yeah.
You know, but you do need to remember each other outside of all the stuff with the the money problems and stuff like that, and you don't want to put yourself in debt for a wedding, regardless of what's going on. Be realistic, but also have time for just the two of you on your own.
Yeah,
like go away somewhere for a night and don't talk about the wedding.
And what about on the actual day? Because I've seen it where I'm like, have they even seen each other since the ceremony? Because do they still have to do this thing where you go around to every single person at the table? Because I just feel awkward. I'm like, you don't want to be here right now. I will talk to you later on the dance floor. There are expectations there. And do you think that people need to meet these expectations?
No, I really don't. You need to be able to enjoy your day. And a lot of people are doing actually is when there's a smaller wedding, then you actually relax and have time to enjoy your thing. Yeah. If you have a good photographer who's quick, the timings of your ceremony versus your sit down for dinner, the window there, like go and enjoy, spend an hour and a half at your drinks reception. A lot of people used to spend 3 hours at photographs and never see their guests in that part. So then that's why they ended up going around to every table afterwards, because they got, oh God, I must say hello to everybody. But you're not even able to have a conversation with people because you're literally bouncing from one thing to the other.
Yeah, with a big smile painted on your face.
Yeah. So no, just sit down and relax and enjoy it, you know. But one of the things that I did for a couple recently, which was really nice, was we gave them a sweetheart table for their top table. So it was just the two of them. And the groom actually turned around to me afterwards and he said, because he really didn't like the idea of just the two of them on a table. He thought it was a bit American. And he said, turned around to me and he said, do you know what? He said, you've given me back my wife to myself on my own on my wedding day for a couple of hours. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And you forget that. Like, people do forget that.
Yeah, that's really
still
sweet,
them.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very sweet. Yeah. And he was marrying an American girl.
Oh my gosh, you were so worth it. So tell me, Sharon, obviously, because you're taking on a lot of other people's drama.
Yeah.
How do you stay calm and how do you cope?
Well, I make sure I'm very organized and everything is planned and timed out for the couple themselves. But it's also very important for me to have an outlet and a de-stress and a time away from, because as you can imagine, you're doing what I do, your head swims with details and scenarios and worst case scenario and how can we do this and how, so you're preparing for the worst or for changes or for weather changes or this, that, the other constantly. So for me, I do things like Bikram yoga and I go cycling and walking and things like that, and I have, you know, I meet up with friends and do book clubs, so different things that are totally away from what you do.
So you organise your life as well as organising everybody else's life.
I try.
So that you have a nice balance.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, excellent. So if anybody wants to find out some more information on yourself and your services, how do they get in touch?
Yeah, you can go to my website, which is sharonmcneil.ie, or as I said, some inspiration and some real weddings and bits and pieces. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter on Sharon McNeil as well.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Why wait to say, at least I did it my way. Lie way too phased, but in my heart I understand. I made my move, and it was all about you. Now I feel so far removed. You are the one thing in my way. You are the one thing in my way. You are the one thing in my way. one thing in my way. You are the one thing in my way.
Walk in My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8. I must give them a shout out, actually, guys. Thanks so much for having us. And to all the students in Ballyfermot who've kindly volunteered their time to run this station. Now, my producer, Sinead, has told me that it's time for me to stop being acting like a presenter and start getting interviewed like an actor. So yes. Sinead's going to throw a few questions at me, it seems.
Yes, because of course you're a celebrity and we're delighted for you to be part of this. And so we want to hear about you. And
we'll use that term celebrity very loosely, I think.
No. And everyone has been like, you know, you've been interviewing everyone. So yeah, now it's our turn to ask you some questions.
Turning the table.
So, I mean, obviously there's lots in mental health and acting, as you mentioned, like rejection and things. But starting off, I mean, how did you get into acting?
I am one of those really boring actors who, well, I decided I want to be an actor in my junior infant school play. But that is sadly the case. It literally was then. I remember Miss O'Connor, shout out to Miss O'Connor in St. Oliver Plunkett's Malahide, who's now the principal, was my junior infant school teacher. And she gave me a line in the school play, like literally one line, that's all it had to be, where I introduced the song where we skipped around in a little circle holding sons, and aww, my life was made. And I'd say my parents can blame her for the wow introduction to acting.
That was your calling.
I decided that was my calling. And yeah, I would say that acting, it shouldn't really be something that you just take a notion. It is a vocation, because it's not an easy job at all.
And what about obviously talent as well? I mean, when I think about acting, I think that must be the most difficult job in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, where does the talent part come in with maybe the hard work that goes into it as well?
Some people are like, what talent? She has none.
There is an awful lot of hard work. I suppose if I started very young. I had excellent drama teachers, and I put a lot of my own career success down to my time as a teenager in Dublin Youth Theatre, where I was working with industry professionals. And it was just, it's really about just getting stuck in. If you love it enough, you will put in the hard work. Like, it's not an easy job. And then I would actually think that empathy is the most important skill or quality that an actor needs to have in order to play different roles, because in order to be someone else, you have to understand walk in their shoes. Very Sinead. Oh no, you should be on this side of the desk. But yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it is actually that. It's completely that. The biggest mistake anybody could make as an actor is to make a judgment on a character. Oh, my character's she's a wagon, because nobody walks around the streets thinking, I'm a wagon, I'm going to be a wagon today. Like, we all have our wagon moods, I'm sure.
Sure.
But it's good to point. Not make a judgment, but to understand that if somebody is acting a certain way, there is something behind it, and we might not like the way they're acting, especially, you know, I work in a soap. I can justify everything my character does, because, you know, people go through hard times and it comes
out
sideways.
She's had some hard storylines, though. How was it to tackle those?
I suppose in soap, that's the nature of the job. There always got to be some drama. So when my character first came into it, she was living in her sister's shadow. I have three sisters. We can all relate to wanting, you know, somebody else being more beautiful, more talented, more intelligent, or just perceived that way and being in somebody's shadow. So that's where it kind of started. And also, I think for Quiva, when she started, people may or may not remember, was her parents had the ambition for her to go to medical school, and she wanted to be an animator. So they're two very different things. So she was a very intelligent character who initially did just do what her parents wanted to do, and then became quite anxious and depressed when that she wasn't fulfilling what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then most recently, she's going through a relationship breakdown, and she has a young daughter who's only one. So at the moment, I am, of course,
you're far too young to even relate to.
There's a lot of, you know, I'm a single mother, and understanding what it's like to try and have to get on with, like, I'm not a single mother, my character's a single mother. Try and have to get on with an ex-partner, even, you know, because breakups are hard, and usually you just get rid of that person out of your life. But you can't do that when you're a single mother. So that's my storyline at the moment. But I suppose the biggest one was when Quiva had a miscarriage quite late on. And there was I had to put in a lot of work and research into that. And it was very important to do that, because Quiva actually had to deliver a stillborn child, which is a very hard thing for anybody to do. So for me, when I did all the research, I realized how many people it affects, you know, and I think it was something like 1 in 3 pregnancies end in miscarriage. So that was really hard. And also, I know that there's so many people watching who have gone through that. So you have to get it right, pace it right. And for me, it's just really that I'm playing somebody else's reality. So I have to live that reality while I am Quiva in that situation.
And how did you, your partner is Damien, is that right? And how did you
get... Ex-partner, he's my ex.
Your ex, yes.
But baby daddy.
During that, how did you guys kind of negotiate some of those scenes? Like, some of them where you were just, you know, brokenhearted and fighting, and did you work those out together or separately?
A bit of both. I suppose in Fair City, you don't really have time for rehearsals and things. You know, we film the equivalent of a feature film in a week, you know, which people have months to do. So there isn't really time to prep. So a lot of the time it's your own research. And then also, obviously, I have a great relationship with Mac as an actor, because I worked with him for so long. But it was okay, because, you know, Aquiva was on her journey of loss and Damien was on his journey of loss, and that's frequently the reality. So there's your own exploration, and then when you come together, you just have to, on the take, go with what that person's given you and what you're going through and negotiate very much on the spot.
Have you ever been thrown by maybe even being blown away by someone else's performance, and you're the actress going, oh no, I'm next.
So many times. And even
even when you're, when you, maybe you've prepared and you're like, this is a screaming, hair-pulling tight argument, and then somebody plays it really quiet and down. You're like, what am I supposed to do with this? And you just have to react with how that is in real life. Okay. You get thrown those curveballs all the time, especially in soap.
Okay. And then what about that rejection part that I mentioned at the beginning? Like, is it true that you have to have a thick skin, or how do you manage that?
Oh, you have to have such a thick skin.
Right.
Oh, so everybody assumes that actors are these hugely confident people. And people always ask me, oh, so you're an actor, so you could do the weather, you could present the weather, you could present radio. It's like, no, I actually enjoy speaking from a character's perspective and not as myself.
Of course.
At all.
Well, they're very different jobs.
They're completely different jobs.
That's what I genuinely mean about being such a difficult job, definitely in my eyes, about acting, but then presenting is completely different, although you've taken to it very well.
Thanks very much. Other people are like, no. You definitely have to be able to handle rejection. And I would say that when I was younger, oh, there were so many tears, because you take it, I used to take it really personally when I'd be like, but I put in so much hard work and you feel like you deserve it, or maybe you feel like I am perfect for that part, or how can anybody else play that? I've been through it so many times, and it's only now that I've been out of college many years that I've realised it's not personal. Sure. It might just be that the lad opposite you, they need him to be taller, and all the lads that came in and were great were 5'6". Okay. You know, it could be that they decided that somebody with blonde hair suits the part more, or they don't like your accent. They could, maybe, and if they don't like you, so what? You know, you just have to let it roll off your back and accept not everybody's going to like you, not everybody's going to like what you do, and just get on with it.
Well, that's good. So you've, over the years, sort of developed a looser way about it.
I would definitely not say that I have a thick skin. I'm a ridiculously sensitive person, but I understand when it's okay to be sensitive and when to ignore the online trolls and haters, because haters are going to hate, like Taylor Swift says.
Yeah, actually, that must be really difficult, is it? Because I think we were talking about it the other day, about how people, like celebrities, and especially now with Twitter and all those online forums, people can just attack and anonymously. And
oh, yeah, completely. Anonymously, come on.
I know.
Yeah, they sit behind their little keyboards, and I get attacked anonymously all the time. The other day, I was like tweeting about a show that I was watching and I thought was great, and I just got trolled, even though the show was great. But then you go into these people's accounts and they're like, they have nothing about themselves. They're clearly catfish or whatever. Or somebody was attacking, I don't know why, I do know, I love Vogue Williams. And somebody was commenting really, really hateful things on one of her Instagram pictures about the fact that she's in the public eye and therefore she is, it's okay to publicly attack her. And I was like, no, you know what? It's her choice who she dates. And I was just like, keeping it positive, because that's what my mom always said, if you've nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. This person came back and trolled every single one of my Instagram pictures about how I needed to get a nose job, that my forehead was too long, that and then like really racist things against Irish people. And I was just like, again, if you have the time to sit down and do this, there's an awful lot of bad things going on with that person.
Yes. Okay, wow. No, you're right. And it is obviously more about them than it is about you.
Oh, it's always about them. I wish I'd known that as a teenager. It's about them, it's not about you.
Well, as we learned earlier from Jigsaw, we mightn't have listened to ourselves or other adults telling us that.
Ah, yeah, I was told to report bullying. I did not. I should have, though. I really wish I should have, because then I was like, I look back on horrible people who were horrible to me when I was 15, and I'm like, why didn't I say something? Because they probably went on to do that to a million other people.
I know, but it's so hard.
It is.
And I suppose, as you highlighted earlier with everyone from Jigsaw, that it is about now talking a bit more about it. So I suppose to finish up on the acting thing, do you do that thing of like where you'd like to be, not necessarily just visualise, but I mean, where do you see yourself? I'm not doing like in 5 years, but dreams, I guess.
I want to stay in acting. I never see myself not doing it. Of course, that's always hard because jobs are precarious. It's not as easy as people think, and you never know. Like, I could finish, I'm currently in Fair City and I've just finished filming Hardy Books, and then there might not be something for 9 months. And if you want to be an actor, you need to be able to accept those things. But I'm intending to just keep chugging on, keep working away, doing what I do. And I've stopped putting that pressure on myself of, I need to have moved to LA by this time because
because those are the kind of things that you get you down. So I'm a firm believer in just do your best and the right things won't pass you.
That's a lovely way to be in general in life. No, you're so true though, because
I'm old now, I get life.
You have wisdom, but it sounds like you're saying I'm you know, focusing on the positive, not where I think 100%. I want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I didn't even get to ask you about Hardy Books. Was that the laughs?
That is the laughs, and that is ultimately terrifying because you're improvising the whole time and you just don't know what those lads are going to do.
Right.
They could throw anything at you.
Okay, well, you're brilliant at that as well. So thank you for answering our listener questions.
No worries. I think we're going to take a song now about the sunshine, which has greatly come out today.
Your sunshine, your sunshine, shining down on me. Your sunshine.
That was Sunshine, which we luckily have today for World Mental Health Day. This has been Walk In My Shoes Radio. I've been Aveen McCall. There are plenty more programs coming throughout the week, so I've just been asked to give a few of my own mental health tips. I suppose the thing that I would mainly say about mental health is it is always changing. Depression does affect most people at some point in their lives. So it's all about finding your coping mechanisms. And if you are worried about somebody that is in your life, there are so many support services out there. We have PA to House, of course, Walk My Shoes, Jigsaw, who was in today, St. Patrick's Mental Health Hospital, who have kindly hosted us here for the week. Thanks, guys. All of their information can be found online. There's no problem too big or too small. It is always relative. And just if you are worried about somebody in your life, anybody at all, just show you care, ask the question. You do not have to be an expert, so you can intervene on somebody else's behalf. And you can also, if you need the services yourself, you can get in touch. also what my main things, well, how do I cope with my mental health? It is all about physical activity. There are so many days where I'm like, no, I do not want to go to the gym. I just want to sit here and eat my hot lips and jelly beans and moan and slope about the couch feeling down. And it isn't until you get there and you do the workout, you know, there are actual physical benefits of serotonin being released in your body. And also, I think Brezzy speaks very highly of how physical activity can help you deal with anxiety, because it's the same kind of physical symptoms, such as increased heart rate, shallow breathing. You know, when you're a fit and physical person, if you do suffer with an anxiety attack, you're almost used to that physical, obviously it coming from physical exertion rather than mental exertion, but that is a good way of being able to learn how to calm yourself and keep yourself at peace. In America, they do prescribe exercise for depression and for anxiety. So I know it's not what you always want to do, and especially now with these evenings getting shorter, but just, I would say, find your fitness and find what you enjoy doing it, be it Zumba, be it some kind of class where you dance on trampolines, which I've seen recently. I just like to lift up heavy things and put them back down, and no, it will not make you into a big, strong, heavy man. It's in fact very, very hard to put on muscle. So don't worry about that. They're all laughing in here. I mean, no, but seriously, like, this is something I get asked all the time. I lift very, very heavy things and put them back down, and I do not look like an absolute beast. It actually, you know, it can help you with keeping the figure in check, and hey, that works for my mental health. So just find out what works for yours, okay? That's what I'm saying. And now we are going to Mr. Blue Sky by ELO.
Blue sky.